Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD, where the call letters mean that they want you to stay well. This is a passionate show, and we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to talk about why we're stupid. Many Americans go abroad without recommended vaccines, then they get sick and pay for it, needing illness care that we all pay for. So we're pretty stupid if we keep paying for other Americans who get sick because they aren't getting appropriate vaccines. We're going to talk about bones. Jumping and resistance exercise in specific ways decrease your risk of a bone break or fracture, as they're called. So we'll talk about what those specific ways are. What makes beets unbeatable? Well, it's not the odd omegas in them, but they do have something in them, and that beats high altitude symptoms. That's right, even when you go up over 8,000 feet, you can get what we call nausea, vomiting, feeling really punk, if you will, because of being at a high altitude. That's called high altitude sickness, and beets help it, and we'll tell why. Diverticulosis and diverticulitis are in the rise in the United States. It's actually interesting. Diverticulitis occurs in 50% of people over the age of, I think it is 85. So if you're over the age of 85, you have a large chance of having diverticulitis, 50%. And the interesting thing on this is that you get a major operation if you perforate. When should you see a doc? What symptoms should make you see a physician earlier? What should they do so that you don't have to be hospitalized for diverticulitis? We'll talk about that later in this hour. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Our guest, funny, irrepressible, smart, in the sixth edition of her book, Dr. Susan Love's Breast Book. It's in the sixth edition. We'll talk to her about survivorship and a care plan for staying well and what really works in prevention, what really works after you've had the diagnosis, had it out, what prevents recurrences. So those are very big and important topics. Since 3% of all women, I think it's 3% of all women, die from breast cancer, and about 10% of all women get breast cancer. Means 70% of those who get it are cured from it, but why not more than that? We'll also have a tip at the end of the real age tip at the end of the first half hour, actually. We're going to move the tips to the bottom of the half hour in this hour. In the first hour, today's do-over tip, invest in your health with a what should you buy and what are essential to your quality and your do-over. We'll talk about that at the bottom of this hour. Let's now start with, and by the way, in the second hour, Gary Ginsberg, we are on 2 hours. The second hour, you can hear from 4 to 5 p.m. or 6 to 7, relatively live on RadioMD.com, or you can hear them by Tuesday on the archives of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Dr. G's mailbag is going to be first. I need a new oven, writes Marilyn in Boston. Should I buy a self-cleaner? I hear the self-cleaning options on ovens can take its toll. The high temperatures have been known to cause fuses to pop and control panels to burn out, maybe even fires. And the popular commercial oven cleaners warn of inhaling fumes and possible eye and skin irritation. And then there's the unpleasant residual smell the next time you use the oven. Why should I expose myself to that, writes Marilyn. She said, why not get an oven that isn't self-cleaning? And we'll talk to Dr. G about that. We're also going to talk to him about lawyers calling Roundup into court over new cancer designation. That is, Roundup, maybe it does cause cancer. Maybe they're going to be suing and be able to stop some of this nonsense with Roundup being available, not just in our food and as a food residual and a cancer causer, maybe that way, but also they sell it direct to consumer, and that is banned in many countries as carcinogenic. New research suggests the common drug Tylenol worsens the toxicity of air pollution. What's that all about? And should you worry about old couches when you're pregnant? We're also going to talk about a new test for your tuberculosis. This makes it much more easier to both diagnose it and to treat it. And we'll end, hopefully, with another tip of the week. This one is, so we'll end the second hour with a tip. And instead of being invest in your health and what to get with it, we have a different tip, which I'll tell you about in just a second. It would be another invest in your health, but a different one than the first one. So we'll talk about that and the other interesting story, personal trainers, the best city to be one. It's very interesting. You'd say, why is it what criteria do they use for the best city to be a personal trainer? But let's get to the story that I think should lead off, because it's, if I will, one of those hit yourself on the side of the head and say, what are we stupid? According to this study presented at this week's Infectious Disease Conference in San Diego, 16% of people who go abroad need measles, mumps, or rubella vaccine. Even the simplest one, the MMR vaccine, 41,000 people were studied in this study. So this is a large study. And of that, 16%, roughly, 6,000 people needed it. More than 6,000, 6,400 people needed it. And only half of those actually got it. Some got sick over abroad. One of those that's traced to the measles outbreak at Disneyland came from overseas with measles and spread it. Most people believe they've already had their childhood immunizations, and they just like, oh yeah, I would have had that, and no further consideration, says the director of Passport Health that did the study. That's dangerous, because measles outbreaks in the U.S. are caused by unvaccinated people who are infected overseas. There's a lot of infection overseas. So what should you do to protect yourself and your community? Well, travel health experts recommend anyone traveling overseas should see their doctor for a consultation, their travel doctor for a consultation 2 months before leaving the country, and have know the set of vaccines they've already received. So the good news is you can do this. It's just not that hard. And the problem is even worse, because measles or mumps or rubella, when you get them as an old person, they're much worse than when you get them as a young person. So that's the trouble. Even if you're going to Mexico, Europe, and anywhere you're traveling, there's probably vaccines you should check on. Do check on it. So the key word, Americans traveling abroad without vaccination. The other quick-hitting story that I think is interesting is that there's a new urine test for tuberculosis. What do I mean by that? Well, usually what you get is a skin test, and if it's positive, it doesn't tell you whether you've had TB or whether you've been exposed to it in the past or whether it's active. So what you want is a test that tells you whether the TB is active or not. Well, there's a new test that does that, and it's a because it only requires a urine sample, and it's got 99%+ accuracy. That is, its receiver operant curve, for those who are statistically minded, is about the best you can get. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. After these important announcements, we'll be right back with the rest of these great stories.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herbs or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving them to his family from the very start. You can find Michael's products at your local health food store, your favorite online retailers, or visit michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation today. That's michaelshealth.com.
Packing for a trip? I know that many travelers like you wish there were more options to stay healthier and happier away from home. Enter Even Hotels with a wellness-savvy staff, a best-in-class fitness experience, healthier food choices, and natural, relaxing spaces. There's no excuse to miss your workout there with fitness options for core, cardio, and strength from their best-in-class athletic studio to the in-room training zone. Eat well while on the road with an abundance of simple, natural, good choices, including customized menu items, freshly prepared food for specific diets, and healthy grab-and-go items. Enjoy premium amenities to wash away the stresses. And finally, at the end of every day, you can rest easy on their premium sleep system that features natural eucalyptus linens and pillow choices to accommodate every type of sleeper. If you can't stay with them at one of their locations, enjoy helpful tips from their wellness travel site, wellwellwell.com. Discover Even Hotels.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels, and that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
And now, back to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to the passionate show that lets you take control of your health, that hopes you take control of your health, that provides you with the information so you can take care of your health. Already we've got a number of questions from Susan, for Susan Love. One is, do I have to have a mammogram each year? Another, when do I go from a X-ray mammogram to an MRI? What's the criteria? So, You can ask us questions at UDOCS, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S. That line is working, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S@gmail.com. Y-O-U-D-O-C-S@gmail.com. Or you can call questions in, 844, and be on the air yourself, 844-305-7800. 844-305-7800. This is the first time in a number of weeks I've had both of the email and the other working. We're getting questions. Marilyn in Boston also asking us about olive oil for preventing breast cancer since that story came up. She wants Dr. Susan Love to ask to tell her how good that data are, how good those data are, and relative to exercise and staying thin and aspirin and a whole bunch of other questions. So thank you, Marilyn in Boston, and thank you, Muriel, for the questions so far, and Jalpa, thank you for the question. So at the bottom of the hour is Dr. Susan Love. Her book is called Dr. Susan Love's Breast Book. Obviously, it's in the sixth edition, so it's got a lot of success with it and a lot of great information. Don wrote about the urine test and says, why do you need a urine test when we've got all these sensitive tests? Well, Don, the urine test is inexpensive and it follows treatment success very well. That is, in the people who successfully got rid of their cancer, their TB, it followed the way of getting rid of it. That is, the way of getting rid of it was seen on the urine test for TB, the TB protein. It's called protein 490. You say, why is it called protein 490? Was it the 490th protein they looked at? No, it has a molecular weight of 490, and they have no idea where it's from. But in any case, it goes up when you have TB, and when you get a curative treatment or when you're being cured, it goes down and disappears afterwards. So protein 490, don't know why it occurs, whether it's an immune reaction to it or something the tuberculosis bacillus secretes or what it is, but it is present. And this urine test is much, 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 much less expensive than the other way, which is biopsies or sputum analysis to really make sure you have it after you've got a positive skin test, or if you have a positive skin test. So that's the message on the urine test. Again, you can write us, email us questions for Susan Love or for me or anybody who is a guest, Gary Ginsberg. We have a great question for him already. On the ovens at UDOCS, YOUDOCS@gmail.com, YOUDOCS@gmail.com, or you can email me at, as I said, UDOCS, or you can call in, call at 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800. I found a new use for Coca-Cola this week. We taped the Dr. Oz show, and you will see it sometime in the month of October, this great use for Coca-Cola. I can't tell you what it is, but you'll have to tune in. We also tested whether apple cider vinegar was good at reducing foot bacteria. It's all over the internet. Does it work? You'll have to tune in, Dr. Oz, to see that, although after the month of October is over, I will tell you. Also in October, we're going to have the top 10 innovations for next year that the Cleveland Clinic thinks will be next year's top 10 innovations. And yes, a couple of them are drugs, but not as many. Maybe it is because all the physicians are annoyed at the drug companies for raising prices so much. It's hard to get people on drugs that are affordable now, even for some of our more well-insured patients. So it's really the copays and stuff like that are now beginning to affect everyone. What's happened, interestingly, over the last 15 years, just since 1999, the average family's cost of medical care has gone from around $5,400 to $17,500, more than a tripling. And some of that is copays. They've gone from $1,500 to $4,400. But the amount companies pay for their own employees has also gone up threefold, from about $4,000 to over $12,000. This is really going to it really causes income inequality. Every penny of increased productivity since 1994 has gone into medical costs or medical insurance costs, which obviously can't continue. It just can't continue because this income inequality has gotten to a point where it's too big. And in addition, the amount of money used on medical care is getting to the point where we will have pretty significant rationing. Let's go to, by the way, Susan Love. If you ask a question, we've got a whole bunch of questions, so I'm going to let Susan judge which is the best question, because there's a free copy of Dr. Susan Love's book to the best question from a listener, so I'm going to let her judge which is the best question. One, so far we got three sets of questions. I told you one about, do you have to have a mammogram every year, and at what age? Second one, MRI form classic x-ray mammograms. The third one is diet choice, that is olive oil versus obesity management versus exercise versus aspirin, which is more important, or would you do all of them, and is there a real benefit to doing all of them? In any case, we'll be talking with the funny, the inspirational Dr. Susan Love. Dr. Susan Love did have her own cancer, too. It was a leukemia. She's gotten a stem cell transplant for it, and she's a 2-year survivor of it already. So we wish her great luck, but she's going to be on with her new book, and Breast Cancer Awareness Month is October. I was at the Celebrating Sisterhood earlier today at the Lander Haven in Cleveland. 750 wonderful women were there to celebrate sisterhood and talk about all the prevention things they can do. Although it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month and you could sign up for that and get a whole bunch of screenings, we'll talk about diet and sugar and insulin with Dr. Susan Love, because one of the emphasis at the Celebrating Sisterhood meeting today was in fact on decreasing sugar and simple carbs in the diet, which raise your blood sugar. How important is that to breast cancer? It was all about heart disease this week, this weekend at Celebrating Sisterhood, but I'm sure breast cancer is important. By the way, you're going to want to turn back next hour too, even if you can't hear it live. Go to RadioMD.com, the archives, or listen to it in the 6 to 7 hour at RadioMD.com. Why? Because Gary has some great questions about when you should buy a self-cleaning oven versus not, and the lawyers calling Roundup into court over the new cancer designation and the threat of cancer, and new research suggests that the common drug Tylenol worsens the toxicity of air pollution. What the heck could Gary be talking about that? Coming up in just a few minutes, the great Dr. Susan Love. We'll be right back on Radio MD with you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay well.
The all-important family meal. Dinner just got happier and healthier. Why? Because kids are begging for crunchy, out-of-this-world, yummy, healthy veggie fries. Yep, they're healthy because they're made with real vegetables. You can choose from broccoli or carrot, chickpea and red pepper, or kale and Tuscan bean, or choose all four. veggie fries are gluten-free, a good source of fiber, and an excellent source of vitamin A, C, and K. Plus, they're very low in sodium. Veggie fries are a parent's dream for their family. Hey, and parents love them too. So if you want to hear more veggies, please, at your dinner table, look for them in the freezer section of your favorite supermarket or natural food store. For more about veggie fries, please go to eatveggiefries.com. Veggie fries.
Each year, millions of people fall for dangerous fad diets and bogus weight loss products. Here's how to separate facts from fad. This is registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics with your Eating Right Minute. Fad diets give lots of promises and few results. Some are even dangerous. Remember these warning signs. A guarantee of rapid weight loss is a red flag. For long-term success, aim to lose about 1 pound per week. Never follow a diet that bans an entire food group or one that allows you to only eat from one group. Finally, there is no proof that eating specific foods at certain times of the day will help with weight loss. To create an eating plan just for you, see a registered dietitian and visit www.eatright.org. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Melissa Joy Dobbins with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
It all started with a seed and a dream to grow sesame in the United States. Now, farmer Jimmy Kinder and others have thriving sesame fields in Oklahoma and other locations. Now, Harvest Stone is more passionate than ever about bringing you delicious and nutritious whole grain snacks. From our crispy organic bowl, original or cheese mixes, to our organic original sesame seed, tomato basil, and cracked pepper crackers, we're committed to using only the highest quality grains and seeds grown by farmers we know and trust, like Jimmy. After all, the best way to create snacks we feel good about is to start with ingredients we feel good about. Snack on something real. Check out HarvestStoneSnacks.com and be sure to request Harvest Stone products at a store near you. Harvest Stone has your snacking covered.
My name is Jenny Allen, and I'm a mother, a writer, and a performer. I also survived uterine and ovarian cancers. I even wrote a play about that.
Maybe you are just cancer-ish and it'll pass.
Before cancer, I took my health entirely for granted, like air. But my symptoms, pain in my abdomen and periods that were heavier and longer than usual for me, related to menopause, I thought. But no, I had cancer. End treatment. If you have symptoms that last 2 weeks or longer, be brave. Go to the doctor. Ask questions. The odds are you don't have cancer. But find out for sure.
Ovarian and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everyone.
Now I'm feeling healthy and happy and hopeful. I am so lucky. I got sick, and then I got better.
RadioMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And Susan Love is our guest. She's a physician who's dedicated her professional life to the eradication of breast cancer. What began as a career in the 1970s quickly turned into a mission. And she's the chief visionary officer of the Dr. Susan Love Research Foundation. Her website, drsusanloveresearch.org. You've written us a number of questions already to ask Dr. Love. She was one of the founders of the National Breast Cancer Coalition, and she was appointed by President Clinton to the National Cancer Advisory Board, which she served for 6 years from 1998 to 2004. She started the first all-women breast center in Boston and has done much work, and this is the sixth edition of a wonderful book called Dr. Susan Love's Breast Book. Susan, thank you very much for coming on and for this mission. We've got a number of questions, and as I said to people, if they email us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, @gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S @gmail.com, they can send questions in that way or call 844-305-7800. It's toll-free, 844-305-7800. The first question is from someone who is 74 and says, do you have to have a mammogram each year, and at what year do you stop having mammograms, and what's the data that yearly mammograms versus every 3 years help?
Well, we're really, it's a prescient question because we're about to get inundated. It's fall and we're about to get the new recommendations from both the American Cancer Society and the U.S. Preventative Task Force. And on the one side, the U.S. Preventative Task Force tends to be more conservative about mammograms and saying we shouldn't start until 50 and we should do them every couple of years. And then the American Cancer Society wants you to start at 45 and do them every year, and then after 50, depending on your history. In terms of when to stop, people pretty much agree that it depends in part on your life expectancy. If you have a lot of other illnesses and diseases, then it's stupid to get a mammogram, which is only going to lead you into having treatment for something often that would never pop up and become important during your lifespan. If you're, on the other hand, a vigorous, active 70-year-old and likely to live another 20 years, then I think every other year is worthwhile.
So someplace between a 5-year life expectancy and a 10 is where you'd stop having them?
Yeah, I mean, you have to think about the treatment of one of the problems with mammograms is that although they can find cancers, they miss some, and also they find things which were never going to turn into cancer really in your lifetime. So you end up with over-treatments for some things, under-treatments for some things, and just right. It's sort of like Goldilocks. And you can't predict what's going to happen for you. So the key is how healthy you are. And as you get older. And if you have a lot of other medical problems, heart disease, lung disease, that are going to decrease your life expectancy, then I would not get mammograms.
Okay, the next question, that was from Muriel. The next question's from Marilyn, who says, I had a MRI 2 years ago after a questionable mammogram. The MRI showed it wasn't a cancer. Should I just get MRIs from now on, or do I go through mammograms first?
It's a good question, and there are pros and cons, of course, to everything. Mammograms tend to be a good overall screening test. MRIs are more expensive. They're a bigger deal to have. They're good at finding cancers, but they also have very high false positives. So they often find things that are not cancer, and that you end up having to get biopsy to figure out what they are. In general, for people of average risk of breast cancer who don't have a strong family history or don't carry the mutation in the gene, mammograms are adequate and are going to be good enough. For those people who carry the BRCA gene and still have their breasts, MRIs are recommended. And also, when people often, if a cancer is found in a breast, the doctor will recommend an MRI to see if there's anything else or how extensive it is. And then finally, women who have very dense breasts, mammogram are looking through all the tissue. And if your breasts are dense, then it shows up white on the mammogram, and cancer shows up white. So it's like looking for a polar bear in the snow. You often can't see it. And so if you have very dense breasts, that might be another argument for an MRI. Or another test, which is growing in popularity, a whole breast ultrasound, where they can do an ultrasound of your whole breast, and that can be more accurate in women who have dense breasts.
Now, there's a question from Laura, since we got into BRCA1, who says, neither of my parents has cancer, but my grandparents and an uncle did have cancers, and so I got BRCA tested on recommendation, and I am positive. I've had two kids. I'm 50 now. I'm through with kids, obviously, having kids, and I'm thinking about having my ovaries taken out as well as my breasts. What do you have any thoughts and any help for me?
I think that obviously, although there is a gene in her family, and it had to have come from someplace, so the gene doesn't always, just because you have the gene, you don't always get cancer, and obviously her whatever relative was the carrier didn't get breast cancer. In terms of prevention, there are options, particularly for women who are finished having their children. Having your ovaries out is a good idea. First of all, ovarian cancer is much harder to detect and much deadlier than breast cancer. And secondly, having your ovaries out actually reduces your risk of breast cancer by 70%. So you get a twofer out of that. Some women, in addition to having their ovaries out, then decide they want to have their breasts removed, and that's really a personal decision. You could monitor them with MRIs rather than that, and I think she's just got to decide what she's most comfortable with. It's not an emergency. It's not like she's going to get breast cancer tomorrow. She may never get it, or she may get it, and she could have her ovaries out and have MRIs for a year or two and see how she feels and whether she wants to do something further. But doing MRI screening has shown to be pretty good in BRCA1 and 2 carriers. The problem with having your breasts removed is, although we can make new breasts artificially with silicone, you don't have...
Go ahead.
Yeah? No, I was going to say, the problem with having your breasts removed, although we can artificially make new breasts, is that you have no sensation whatsoever. I mean, if somebody hugs you, you can't even tell they're hugging you. And so I often joke, but also seriously, that doctors will say, well, we'll make new breasts for you, and they'll look normal, and they'll feel normal. They mean to the feeler, because the feelee has no feeling whatsoever.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about the way of prevention, and we're going to get to Jopo's questions on aspirin versus physical activity versus food choices versus diet in general. We'll be right back with Dr. Susan Love. It's Dr. Susan Love's Breast Book on Radio MD. Stay well.
I'm here to tell you that Shelton's chickens and turkeys don't do drugs. Now, what does that mean? They're raised without the use of antibiotics or artificial growth stimulants. They're even allowed to walk around in the open space and sunshine, free to scratch at the ground and peck away at whatever takes their fancy. All of Shelton's natural poultry products are made with the finest natural ingredients available. They use no preservatives, flavor enhancers, modified starches, animal protein, or any artificial ingredients. In fact, their ingredient list reads more like home recipes instead of chemistry textbooks. From premium whole turkeys and chickens to chicken breasts and thighs, ground turkey, uncured chicken franks, canned chicken and chili, turkey burgers and meatballs, and the absolute best turkey jerky and sticks on the planet, Shelton's is your go-to poultry brand. If you want certified organic, you can have that too. Look for the Shelton's brand in your natural markets, or to search for one near you, go to Shelton's.com. Shelton's premium poultry is so good, your family will taste the healthy difference.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all of our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by over 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and The Federalist, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths among women in the United States. Better screening and treatment have contributed to a decline in breast cancer deaths. However, not all women have benefited equally from these improvements. Black women have the highest death rate from breast cancer compared to any other racial or ethnic group. We can all help reduce deaths from breast cancer. Healthcare professionals can ensure that women get the tests and treatment they need on time. Patient navigators can help guide women through the healthcare system so they get the care they need. Women need to educate themselves about breast cancer and talk to their healthcare provider about how to reduce their risk. The full benefit of breast cancer screening is achieved when every woman receives adequate screening, timely follow-up, and high-quality treatment. Learn more at www.cdc.gov/vital signs.
Can you tell if the surfaces in this kitchen are crawling with bacteria that could cause chronic arthritis? Listen. Can't, can you? You can't see it either. Wash surfaces, utensils, and hands frequently with soapy water while preparing food, especially when handling raw meats or eggs. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick, or worse. 1 in 6 Americans will get sick from food poisoning this year, and roughly 3,000 will die. But you can keep your family safer by cleaning with soap and water as you go. Learn more about this and other important information. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. That's foodsafety.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Michael Roizen, M.D.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Dr. Mike.
And this is Dr. Mike. We're giving away one of Dr. Susan Love's books, Dr. Susan Love's breast book. It's in its 6th edition now, and Susan Love's email, and not an email, but her website is Dr. Susan Love. L-O-V-E, research.org, Dr. Susan Love, research.org. We're giving it away to the best question. So far we've had Muriel ask about the age of stopping. Marilyn asked about MRIs versus mammograms, or about ovaries and removing them when she's got BRCA1 after already having her children. And LaShonda asked a question that I'm going to get to in a minute. But first, Susan, you were talking to me about the difference in breast cancer treatments in the recent research. So I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things, the mistakes we make as physicians is we present things as if they're the answer, and really they're only our best guess at the moment, and if you stay tuned, we may have a better idea. And the current, in each edition of the book, we've had new and different focuses on treatment. So initially, we were focusing on fast and cutting it out, and the bigger the operation, the better. And then we realized that wasn't good enough because the cells had already gotten out. So then we started working on well, what about adding chemotherapy or hormone therapy? And that helped some. And then we said, maybe it's not enough chemotherapy, and we started at very high doses, so you had to have a transplant, and then that didn't work. So then we got to targeted therapies. That was good. And in some cancers that have certain genetic changes, we can map and target it, like with Herceptin. But still, there are people with problems. And the hot new thing in the latest edition is immunotherapy. So one of the big questions had always been, why does the immune system let cancers grow? I mean, why doesn't it block them, which would be the you'd think it would do? And it's because turns out one of the reasons anyway is because the immune system has the ability, the cancer has the ability to block the immune system. It actually puts a block in so that the cells can't react and can't kill it. And then there's some new drugs that have just come out which unblock it. And now that allows the immune system to start attacking the cancer. And I think that's going to be a very important, the treatments are now being used for women with metastatic disease, but that approach, it's worked very well with melanoma. It's also worked with some kidney cancers. And I think we're going to see more and more of that because that takes, we'll be able to take care of cancers that maybe aren't as homogeneous as we thought. And so targeting them, you may target some cells, but not all of them. And if you let the immune system out, it's like, you know, sending the Royal Mounties or somebody and just letting them take care of the whole thing.
So these are the things, and for those listeners of the show for a long time, I think you're talking, at least some of the things you're talking about are what we call checkpoint inhibitors.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking
and
about.
And so we talked about those probably 4 or 5 years ago about melanoma, and now they're coming, and then kidney cancer, and now they're coming to other cancers and solid
tumors as well. Breast cancer, lung cancer, small cell lung cancer, yep. Mostly, right now with metastatic disease, but I think we're going to see more and more of this.
And now let's go to LaShonda and Jopa. Both have this question somewhere because they heard our conversation 2 or 3 weeks ago with the PREDIMED study showing that substituting olive oil for saturated fat had a remarkable decrease in invasive cancers over the 6 years of the study, and they wanted to know how good is that data in your mind, Dr. Love, versus just losing weight versus physical activity versus taking aspirin as a preventive?
Well, and that's a good question. The problem with that study is it wasn't really set out to look at breast cancer. They were looking at heart disease, and the number of cancers that happened were not very high in any of the groups. So I think that there has been data over time looking at olive oil, and I think it's probably a good choice if you're using oils. I do think that all of the lifestyle changes, which have significant effects, exercise, are hard to tease out which one piece is the most important. But exercise has turned out to be very important, as well as maintaining a healthy weight. And eating a diet high in fruits and vegetables and low in animal fat, I think, is also a good idea. Alcohol in moderation, if at all. All of those are good probably for everything. But certainly there is data that they're beneficial in terms of breast cancer. The aspirin question, there's some provocative data about aspirin and about metformin, both being good for preventing breast cancer. There's a new big study that's just being launched looking at aspirin and breast cancer, so we'll have a more definitive answer on that. But I think if you have another reason to take either of those drugs, it's also probably good for breast cancer. I'm not sure it's worth taking it just for the breast cancer risk.
I should say that in the book is a very nice section on the rationale for metformin and insulin resistance relating to breast cancer. It's one of the reasons I say that Warren Buffett Warren Buffett, who has prostate cancer, always brings a can of regular Coke with him. And I can't keep saying that's probably the worst thing he could do for his prostate cancer spreading. And what's true in prostate is true in breast, meaning high sugar levels seem to be spread the cancers or cause the cancers to grow faster. Is that
well,
would you agree
certainly
with that?
Certainly artificial, you know, certainly sugar. I think that we do know that fruits and vegetable diets tend to reduce it, and there's sugar in fruit. But I think if you're going to have sugar, you should have natural sugar in its native form, like a like an apple, as opposed to a spoonful of sugar.
Right, and you do in the book go into where the sugar, the higher sugar levels obviously raise insulin levels, and that may be why metformin has a value.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the thing is, to have cancer in any organ, you need mutated cells, and they need to be in a neighborhood that's egging them on. So everybody gets mutated cells. It's like getting, you know, dents in your car. The longer you own your car, the more dents you get. But if you get the mutation in exactly the wrong place, then maybe you can't drive your car. Well, if you get a bad mutation and you're in the local environment, both of the whole body and the cells are jazzed up, either with sugar, with high fat, with not exercise, all of those things, then you're much more likely to get a cancer.
We've been talking with Dr. Susan Love. It's Dr. Susan Love's breast book, and it's drsusanloveresearch.org. Muriel, you're going to get the book, drsusanloveresearch.org.